Well, this morning we start and conclude a four-part series that we started, a journey that we started. We made the announcement Easter Sunday. Easter Sunday, we said that we're going to start a series called At the Movies. We've never done anything like this before. Family Worship Center's all going to be 34 years old, I believe, in August. And so, being that we've never done anything quite like this before, I was excited. Been wonderful the past 4 weeks. If you haven't been able to be a part, you can listen to the podcast. The first week we did Back to the Future. The second week we Don Stepanovic did Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle. The third week we did The Matrix, and today, and it happenstance. It wasn't done on purpose, but today, the same weekend that Avengers Infinity Wars hits the theaters, I had in my heart to do The Avengers. And we're going to be talking about part one and part two. Now, I promise you this. I will not be giving any spoilers for Avengers Infinity Wars. We will solely focus on part one, or the first Avengers, and the second one, Age of Ultron. And I don't know if you've seen Infinity Wars, but there's so many different things going on. We're not going to give any spoilers, even though I did see it on a Friday night. And mine, blown. And so, as Juliana would, she taught me that. So, but I promise not to give any spoilers. We'll be focusing on that. And so, asking everyone a question, or before I ask that question, just to give everybody a little bit of where we're, what's the purpose of this? What is it at the movies? What's going on with this? I really do believe that God can use anything to talk to us. God can use a donkey in the Bible. God can use pop culture today. And so that we're going to be looking at these two movies. I'm going to be pulling a couple points out of each of them. And in doing that, the whole purpose and the thought pattern behind it is to pull biblical truths that will encourage you, challenge you, and ultimately strengthen your relationship with God. And so this morning, how many have seen the first one, the first Avengers? Okay, more people this service than the last service, okay? How many have seen the second one? Age of Ultron. Okay, all right. So if you've known, this is about 5.5 hours worth of movie that I have to cover, all right? So, but I'm going to whittle it down. So I know there's some supersonic, megacon, comic book people in the house today. So please, as I already got corrected the first service, I did get a couple things that weren't 100% right, like when I talk about Banner. You know, and you know, it's not just radiation, but it's gamma radiation. They had to put the gamma in front of it. And so, but I'll get it all straight this one. But my wife's like, you could have said a spotlight, and I would have been, you know, it's like, I have no idea. So I don't know if a lot of people are like that. But just to tell you a little bit about the Avengers, financially, the juggernaut this franchise is, that the Avengers was released in 2012. Bringing in $1.5 billion. The Age of Ultron was the second one, was released in 2015 and brought in $1.4 billion. Now, the Avengers, the Infinity War, the third one in the franchise, specifically those three movies, was released this past Friday. And there were some showings on Thursday night, but this is a stat just from the Friday alone. One day, people, one day. This is just Friday. Friday's earnings was over $106 million. That's a lot of quan. That's a whole lot of money, right? And so, as everyone, we dive into this, and I'm going to try and go through this as expeditiously as possible. At the same time, I believe it's going to stir you up, strengthen you, and challenge you in some areas. So now the Avengers. So some of you didn't raise your hand. You don't know this or that or anything else. So the Avengers. It's a superhero movie. It's a comic book come to life. And so the Avengers, it's a sci-fi fantasy action movie. The storyline of the first one, all right, Now, once again, I'm whittling this down to be as simple as possible. So, you hardcore fans, you know, don't chastise me, all right? So, when Thor's evil adopted brother, this is a storyline, when Thor's evil adopted brother Loki gains access to an unlimited power cube called the Tesseract, Nick Fury, the director of S.H.I.E.L.D., a privately funded government agency, initiates a superhero recruitment effort to defeat the unprecedented threat to Earth. Joining Nick Fury's dream team are Iron Man, Captain America, the Hulk, Thor from Asgard. Man, who y'all woo? That's people like Thor. Are you a Hulk fan? Oh, you're waiting on the Hulk. So some, because there's a woman in that area right over there that went, woo! And she, when Thor came, I was like, oh, my Lord Jesus. And she was married. And it says, so, I ain't going to say who it is, but Thor, all right, from Asgard, Hawkeye, and Black Widow. Loki uses the power cube to mind control one of the Avengers, Hawkeye, to help try and take the Avengers down. So let's talk about this team. The bio says dream team, okay? This dream team, Iron Man. Let's talk about his attributes, things that just a little bit about him, so you know. Extremely smart. Saw that his smarts were a gift to help people in need, so he created the Iron Man suit. Captain America, a natural born leader from the inside out, was a scrawny little guy with a giant heart. The government invented a super serum with gave him incredible strength and agility. Thor, he is the son of a king on another planet called Asgard. He has been through many battles of war with his father, the king. He can fly. He can go to different universes. He is one of the strongest Avengers, one of the strongest on the team, this current team that we talks about here. All right? Hulk. Hulk is Bruce Banner. You see him in his Hulk form. But Bruce Banner, in regular form, just an average man. He's a scientist who is accidentally, now there's two different storylines of what you grew up with. It was either accidentally exposed to too much gamma radiation in an experiment, or there's another storyline that says he did it on purpose. But either or, it was gamma radiation that he was exposed to, which causes him to turn into this large, green, and extremely powerful individual when he loses his temper. He is the strongest Avenger, strongest on a team, but when Bruce is in Hulk form, he is not the brightest on the team. Okay? Black Widow. Black Widow is a former Russian spy, incredible at interrogation, hand-to-hand combat, super sly, super smooth, very crafty, and gets the job done. She has no super agilities, no super enhancement powers, as well as Hawkeye. He is a man with just a bow and arrow. This guy's got guts. He's a man with perfect aim, along with an incredible arsenal of arrows. He, like Black Widow, doesn't have any super enhancement powers, but his humanity keeps the team in check. One thing I noticed along all of them. And then there's a leader of the first one, Nick Fury, leader of the team. He is the one who saw what was so special about each and every one of them individually, and how bringing them together, if he brought them together, those giftings together, brought them all together, how they could save the world. The Avengers are called Earth's mightiest heroes. Church, that's the way I see the church today. That's the way I see yous guys. I see yous guys. I see the church being like the Avengers. The team of people, a team of people who have different giftings, who have different talents, and have been brought together to help save the world. Talking about each and every one of you, no matter how young you are in the house or no matter how old you are in this house, you still have gifts, you still have talents, you still have a call on your life. You have a purpose. One of the things throughout this series, and I say it all the time, is God, you were created on purpose, with a purpose, for a purpose. So, we have to be cognizant. See, we have to be aware that if we know how effective that we can be as a team, as a church, how effective that we can be against the enemy. The devil knows that he wants us to be ineffective. See, there's two major, look at your neighbor and say major. Major institutions in the Bible that God created. In Genesis chapter 1, he created the heavens and earth, but he created the family. That was the number one major institution that God created here on earth. The family. Be fruitful and multiply. Right? And then in, you fast forward all the way to Acts. Acts was the second major institution that God created, and that was the church. Now, think about this. Put those two things side by side, and what are the two huge, biggest institutions that the enemy comes against all the time? The family and the church. Because of the absolute, incredible power that that family can possess in being in unity, being together. Right? That's why there's such an attack. There has been an attack. Divorce rates goes to the roof. You know, divorce rates are through the roof in Christian homes, much less secular homes, non-believer homes, you know? And so the importance of the family being a unit, being together, being a team is vital. If a family truly understands the power that they have as a team, as a child of God, children of God, if the father understands and the mother understands the influence that they have, and they teach their children the biblical principles that God said in his word, that makes that child tremendously unstoppable for God. As well as the parents, because there's power in unity. The Bible says if God can put one to flight, God who won a flight, 1,000 a flight, 2 could put 10,000 a flight. Thank you. I got it out. So we have to understand that those two institutions, that's the family and the church. The church, if everyone understood the power that they possess when they come in and they take their place in the body of Christ, the type of impact that church can make on the community. Amazing. See, the devil wants to stop us from being the heroes, being the team that God designed Family Worship Center to be, to go out and help save the world by bringing the Savior to the world. See, so the devil wants to stop us from being those heroes that God designed us to be. This morning, I'm going to pull out three. Look at your neighbor and say three. Three things that the devil tries to stop the children of God. Three things that the devil tries to stop the children of God from truly being the church's avengers. And so I'm going to start with the first clip, which is going to give you a visual of what we're going to be talking about. So I'm going to set it up. Thor's adopted brother Loki has used the power cube, once again, I remind you, he used the power cube to mind control one of the Avengers, which is Hawkeye. Hawkeye is unwillingly under Loki's command, so understand that because that sets up for later. So the Avengers are on a helicarrier, and if you don't know what a helicarrier is, that is basically a giant battleship in the sky, pretty much, right? So it's a it's helicopter. All the Avengers are on it, and it's a hovering battleship in the clouds. The Avengers are all on it, and they caught Loki, and they have Loki, and they put him in this round glass holding place. Black Widow just interrogated Loki, and Loki basically has stirred the pot because all the Avengers were listening when she was interrogating him. And you begin to find out that he didn't get caught, but he got caught on purpose because he had a purpose of getting caught. And while he was being interrogated and knowing that the rest of the Avengers were basically listening in on the conversation, begins to stir the pot. Watch this scene.
No fuss. What is Phase 2?
Phase 2 is S.H.I.E.L.D. uses the cube to make weapons.
I'd like to know why S.H.I.E.L.D. is using the Tesseract to build weapons of mass destruction.
Because of him.
Me. Last year, Earth had a visitor from another planet who had a grudge match that leveled a small town. We learned that not only are we not alone, but we are hopelessly, hilariously outgunned.
My people want nothing but peace with your planet.
But you're not the only people out there, are you?
We had to come up with
a nuclear deterrent, because that always calms everything right down.
Remind me again how you made your fortune, Stark.
I'm sure if he still made weapons, Stark would be neck deep.
Wait, hold on. How is this now about me? I'm sorry, isn't everything?
I thought humans were more evolved than this.
Excuse me, did we come to your planet and blow stuff
you
up?
Understand
your
champions,
right? You're not my champion.
He was really that naive. S.H.I.E.L.D. monitors potential threats.
Captain America is on a threat warning.
We all
not
are.
Concerned, Doctor.
You're on that list? You
let me be above or below
it. Stark's a company guy. You think one of all
threat, verbal threat. I feel threatened. Show some respect.
Why did you put you down to us? Well,
now that'll be a real.
Transport 66 Bravo, please relay confirm code. I've got you on the computer, but not on the data log. What is your haul? Over.
Arms and ammunition. Over.
Three ways the devil tries to stop the church's Avengers from assembling. Number one, he will get you to fight against each other. He stirred the pot. And I understand that the scepter is there, but I'm looking at it from this aspect, is this. He stirred the pot to get them to fight and argue with each other. Because while they were sitting there fighting and arguing with each other, they took their guard down and they were getting attacked. The enemy was unified and they were attacking while they were arguing. And that's exactly what the devil tries to do with the church. That's exactly what the devil tries to do with families, to get everybody against each other, to turn everybody. You saw Nick Fury, he's the reason. And they started pointing fingers. Now, here's the interesting thing about that whole conversation. If you know anything about the MCU, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, if you know anything, everything that they basically were arguing about was 100% right. But it didn't give them the right to sit there and hash it out. Because they took their eye off of the situation. They took their eye. They started fighting against each other. And I'm telling you what, when we begin as the children of God, and we're fighting against each other in the house of God, we're fighting. You're fighting against each other in your house, in your home, husbands and wives, kids and parents. When you're constantly fighting, there's disunity. There's disunity that takes place. It's hard to flow together when you are constantly fighting each other. The enemy. You've got to realize the enemy is setting you up for an attack. Fighting against each other. How does that translate to the body, the local body of Christ? Well, complaining in church, nagging, arguing, with one another, about one another. Things don't go your way and you think they should, so you murmur and complain and fight. Somebody rubs you the wrong way, and in your mind, it's off with their head. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Ephesians 4, 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Do you see, there's so much power in unity. There's so much, and it gets you to a place where you are in God's will. You are sensitive to what God shows you, and God shows the team. Man, when we come into this place, all of us together, each and every one of you got gifts and talents. There's something special about each and every one of you, because that's the way you were created. That's how God created you. And it's coming into this place and putting the team that God, because the Bible says God has placed everybody in the body of Christ as it has pleased him. So you're in this place, and it's not by happenstance. God led you here. Why? Because you've got something to give. You've got something on the inside that needs to be developed, cultivated, brought up, nurtured, and then walked out. And there's no better atmosphere, there's no better platform than here at Family Worship Center. So God, you know, there's things about you, but if we allow to let murmuring and griping and complaining and this and that, I'm telling you what, it gets us out of the will of God. It gets us out of unity, and it sets us up for the enemy. 1 Peter 4, chapter 4, verse 9, use hospitality one to another without grudging. 1 Thessalonians 5, 18, in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in which Jesus Christ concerning you. I mean, it goes, there's 1 Thessalonians 5, 18. There's 1 Corinthians 10, 10. There's Philippians 4, 11 to 12. Scripture after scripture after scripture about, you know what? Not murmuring, not complaining, not backbiting. But you know what? But just being who God's called you to be and stepping into that place, not arguing and fighting with each other. When you go into your home, not arguing and fighting each other. The Bible says to believe the best of every person. And let me tell you something. I'm not just saying that because I'm in that perfect place. I'm learning it. I'm walking it out. But I'm telling you, I'm preaching myself as well as I'm preaching to you this morning, because we all need to hear it. None of us are perfect, but we have to keep trying. We can't give up, because ultimately there's a world that's lost and dying out there that needs you and I fighting each other. See, Loki was setting up the Avengers by stirring the pot, getting them to argue with one another. The entire time the enemy was working in unison to take them down, take them out of the sky, literally. We must be careful not to get distracted by the enemy, by bickering and complaining, all the while being set up for a fall. Why do people fall for this? Why do people, it's so easy to murmur and complain and backbite and not believe the best. I believe this across the church world. I'm not talking about our church. I'm talking about the church world. Why I think people fall to pride, fall to murmuring, fall to complaining. It's going to be in this next clip. It's going to give you the visual. And let me set it up for you. After that attack that you just saw, after it plays out, Loki has done what he set out to do, distract the Avengers team, get them to turn on each other, stalling for the bigger picture at hand, what happens at the end of the movie when aliens come out of the sky and attack New York. The bigger picture at hand, just stalling, the bigger picture at hand, getting them to go against each other, to cause disunity. It's time for Loki to escape. And his adopted brother, Thor, attempts to stop him with some serious, grave repercussions. Watch this next clip.
No! humans think us immortal. Should we test that?
Move away, please. You like this? We started working on the prototype after you sent the destroyer. Even I don't know what it does. You want to find out? No! In your nature.
Your heroes are scattered. Your floating fortress falls from the sky. Where is my disadvantage?
You lack conviction.
I don't think I...
So that's what it does.
So you see here, Loki escapes with his trickery and attempts to kill his own brother. And some of us think we have some family problems. Something that stood out to me about this clip was something that the agent, Agent Coulson, says. He said that it stood out to me when I watched this scene. Through it all, Thor's out. Loki's going to walk away, and Agent Coulson says, "You're going to lose." There he is, just got stabbed with that scepter. He says, "You're going to lose." Loki's response was, "Oh, am I?" And he says, "It's in your nature. It's in your nature." And Loki says, "Your heroes are scattered. Your floating fortress falls from the sky. Where's my disadvantage?" He says, "You lack conviction." The word conviction means a firmly held belief. I believe why people fall to pride, fall to murmuring and complaining is because they lack godly conviction. They lack godly conviction. Again, the word conviction means a firmly held belief. Do we truly believe the damage that it does? Do we truly understand the blessings by listening to God that follow because of our godly convictions? You know, you think about it, you're going to lose, he says. It's in your nature. That describes the devil. The devil loses in the end. I mean, honestly, if you didn't know that, I'm just going to tell you with lovingly pick up the book and read the end. He loses in the end. It's in his nature. Just like Agent Coulson said, Loki, it's in your nature. It's in his nature. The devil loses. He can't tell the truth. He's the father of lies. He's got no truth in him. But I tell you this, something that I didn't even see it until just this moment. It's not even my notes, that they win in the end. Everyone knows that, you know, there's Avengers 2, Avengers 3, they win, okay? But what was the casualties that took place? What were the casualties that happened before they got to the win? Obviously, there was a casualty right there before you. Agent Coulson died. And that, what are the casualties because we refuse to walk in love? What are the casualties? We win in the end. Jesus wins. The devil is defeated. Do you want it to be your kids? Do you want it to be your spouse? That should cause us to want to walk in love. Desire to walk in love like never before. Because you know what? We don't lack godly conviction, but we have godly conviction. It's real quiet in here. That means you're listening really good, and that's good. We're going to pick up on our next point. It's from the next Avengers, when Iron Man, this Age of Ultron, okay? And it wasn't really an age. It was more or less, it didn't seem very long. But this movie, this next movie, Age of Ultron, I'll just give you a synopsis. When Iron Man tries to jumpstart a dormant peacekeeping program, things go awry, and the Earth's mightiest heroes are put to the test of fate as the fate of the planet hangs in the balance. As the villainous and crafty robotic being Ultron emerges, Ultron recruits two enhanced individuals, Quicksilver, who runs fast, and Scarlet Witch. This next clip is going to set up the second point of the three ways the devil tries to stop the church's Avengers from assembling. And I'll set it up with this. In this part of the movie, of the second one, The Age of Ultron, in the movie, the brother and sister superpowered beings have been misled into helping the evil robotic Ultron, who wants to rid the planet of human beings and create robotic life. But before the brother and sister discover Ultron's ultimate plan, right, and they end up turning on Ultron. This is before they find out his plan. The sister Wanda uses her powers to mess with each of the Avengers' head, and this is where that picks up.
Thor, status.
The girl tried to warp my mind.
Take special care. I doubt a human can keep her at bay.
Fortunately, I am mighty. This is going very well.
I've done the whole mind control thing.
Not a fan. Yeah, you better run.
He's ever standing. We gotta move. Guys?
I want to finish the plan. I want the big one.
News our footage. Keyword Hulk. Natasha, I could really use a lullaby.
And that's not gonna happen. Not for a while.
The whole team is down. You got no backup here.
All right, everybody, stand down.
Listening.
That little witch is messing with your mind. You're stronger than her. You're smarter than her. You're Bruce Banner. Yeah. Right. Don't mention puny Banner.
The news is loving you guys. Nobody else is. There's been no official call for Banner's arrest, but it's in the air.
Stark Relief Foundation?
Already on the scene. How's the team?
We took a hit. We'll shake it off.
Well, for now, I'd stay in stealth mode. And stay away from here.
So, run and hide.
Until we can find Ultron, I don't have a lot else to offer.
Neither do we.
Three ways the devil tries to stop the church's Avengers from assembling the children of God from making a difference in the world today is that, number two, fighting against yourself. Wanda got in Thor's head, Captain America's head, Black Widow's head, and the Hulk's. I have the footage edited down because not going to everything that they went through and what they experienced in their minds, but for a sake of time, but just to paraphrase, that basically each of them basically were haunted by the mistakes of their past or potential mistakes of their future. Worry. Thor, scared of a doomed future. Captain America, mistake from the past of a missed opportunity that's been haunting him. And a Black Widow, ashamed of the decisions that took place in her past. The devil will try and stop you from assembling, seeing who you are in Christ, to try and bring up the things of your past, to try and tell you you're not worth anything, to get in your head and fool you out of your destiny. The devil will attack. He wants to get you away from each other, away from the group. I thought it was very, very interesting in that one clip. After Wanda messes with the team, Iron Man needs the team, and he says, "I need help from the team." And Hawkeye makes that statement to Iron Man: "The whole team is down. You've got no backup here." That's the enemy's ultimate plan for the body of Christ, to attack you individually, to cause you not to come together, to make a difference together, to make you think, to cause you to think your giftings are not needed, or you've got no place here, or you're not worthy, or you have nothing to offer. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 26 through 28 says, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, each part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a member of it. We have to understand the church, and it goes on to say in verse 28, in the church, God has appointed first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, and those with gifts of healing, helping, administration in various tongues. I'm telling you what, the church needs you to fulfill the call of God and to impact this community and to impact this world. And there's no greater place in the church that will value those gifts and see those gifts, no matter how old you are, no matter how young you are. But you can't let the devil mess with your head and tell you that you're not worthy, that you can't be a part. You've got no place. See, at the end of that series of scenes describes a lot of people in churches across the planet. The Avengers are on the Quinjet, wallowing in their mistakes and in their fears after getting their mind messed with from the enemy in regards to their past mistakes and their future. Iron Man says, "We took a hit, but we will shake it off." Maria Hill says, "Well, for now, you should stay in stealth mode and stay away from here." Iron Man replies, "So you mean run and hide?" That's exactly what the enemy wants you to do when it comes to the local body, when it comes to the church. For you to stay away, for you to run and hide, to stay in stealth mode, to stay away, run and hide, not being the hero God intended you to be to the lost and dying world who need. Hebrews 10:25, we all know it, says, "Not forsaking the assembling of our souls together as the matter of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. Can just think this morning. Another statement that stands out in that scene of those array of clips is when Iron Man is trying to reason with the Hulk. He's in the Hulkbuster suit, and he's trying to reason with the Hulk about his mind getting messed with. And he says this, "Are you listening to me? That little witch is messing with your mind. You are stronger than her. You are smarter than her. You are Bruce Banner." Today, church, the devil, when he tries to mess with your mind about your past failures, about your past mistakes, of worrying about your future, I ask you, are you listening to me today? You are letting that little punk mess with your mind. You are stronger than him. You are smarter than him. You are a child of God. Hear me. You are a child of God. The devil is defeated. The Bible says he's under a child of God's feet. The last clip I'm going to show you as we get ready to close is sets up from this, because the third reason, the third way the devil tries to stop the church's avengers, the children of God, from assembling together and being the light that God called us to be in our community and in the world, right? Allow me to set up this for you. As I stated earlier, that the recruited allies of Ultron was the brother and sister, Wanda and her brother, Quicksilver. Once they find out Ultron's evil plan of exterminating the planet of humans, they switch sides. And after that, they help the Avengers save thousands and thousands and thousands of lives as the Avengers are fighting. At the end of the movie, an army of Ultron's battle robots, Wanda the sister has a moment of guilt of what's going on, and in that present moment where she's overwhelmed in that moment. And I think it's so interesting that the writers put it, the person that gives her the pep talk, the person that looks at her and pushes her past everything that she's done as she begins to say and feels what she feels, and you're going to hear what she says, that the one person was the one person that could have felt bad at the first movie, and that was Hawkeye. But he saw something, and he was able to step into a place and encourage her. This is the final scene of the morning.
Hey, you okay?
It's all our fault.
Hey, look at me. It's your fault. It's everyone's fault. Who cares? Are you up for this? Are you? Look, I just need to know, because the city is flying. Okay, look, the city is flying. We're fighting an army of robots. And I have a bow and arrow. None of this makes sense. But I'm going back out there because it's my job. Okay, and I can't do my job and babysit.
Doesn't matter what you did, what you were.
If you go out there, you fight, and you fight to kill. Stay in here, you're good. I'll send your brother to come find you, but if you step out that door, you are an Avenger. All right, good chat. Yes, the city is flying.
Oh.
right, we're all clear here.
We are not clear. We are very not clear.
Three ways the devil tries to stop the church's Avengers from assembling. Number three, not seeing yourself as a hero. I'm here to admonish you today as we get ready to leave. As Hawkeye looked at Wanda and said in that scene, "Are you up for this? There's a lost and dying world out there that needs Jesus. There's a lost and dying world that doesn't have any hope. There's a lost and dying world that needs the hope of Jesus Christ. Are you up for this, church?" I believe you are. But you need to see yourself as the hero, as a hero. Ultimately, Jesus is the hero. But he uses us to be a hero. He uses you. He uses me. We're his hands. We're his feet. We're his mouthpiece. There are people in your neighborhood. There are people in your workplace. There are people in your school there that need a Savior. They need you to see yourself as the hero God designed for you to be and introduce them to the Savior. And that scene, Hawkeye said, "I'm going back out there because it's my job. I can't do my job and babysit." I love it. He goes on to say, "It doesn't matter what you did or what you were. You step out that door, you're an Avenger." Church, we've been given an assignment from God. Luke 10:27, he answered, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. The second is likened to it. Love your neighbor as yourself." Mark 16:15 simply says, "And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." Are you ready for this? It doesn't matter what you did. It doesn't matter what you were. You step out that door. Let God use you to make a difference in somebody's life. Let's not allow the enemy to stop you from taking your place on this team here at Family Worship Center. Each one of you have gifts and talents that God desires for you to discover. Gifts and talents that God desires for you to nurture. Gifts and talents God desires for you to use. There's a young lady, it's a mom. She's not here this service. She was here the last service. Her name is Grace. Grace Parkinson. She's from Jamaica. She comes in for a service, and she has an usher's shirt on. And in August, Family Worship Center will be 34 years old. She is the first female usher that's ever worn a shirt, and it comes every Sunday to step into that role. You say, "Well, this is an usher." Absolutely. That young lady's got so many more gifts and talents that's on the inside of her. It's just going to start there. This is no better place than to have your gift cultivated, nurtured, and have God raise it up. You have to see yourself as a hero. So this morning, as we close, I want to encourage everybody to start seeing yourself as a hero God charged us to be as he ascended to heaven. As he said in Mark 16:15, as he commanded in Luke 10:27. You will impact the kingdom of God with every soul that isn't going to hell but spending eternity in heaven. It's more about just